Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you to Christian Worldview this morning with Dr. John Coben, this 9th day of November 2005. Glad you've joined us. An exciting show on tap as usual today. So by all means, sit tight. Keep that radio station tuned to 97.7 in Greenville and 87.9 elsewhere. And we'll be looking forward to talking about some great stories in the news today. All right, we want to go and take a quick check at the weather. We're going to do that in just a quick second because I think we have somebody actually already calling on the line here, but we'll get to that in just a minute. In fact, we'll just take a quick note here that Texas voters have approved a ban on gay marriage. How do you like that? A lot of vote tabs coming in for yesterday's elections around the country. Looks like the Democrats are pretty happy. They won a couple of seats. In Virginia and in New Jersey, the governorship, the seats, I should say, the governors. And Bloomberg wins a second term by a wide margin. So that's kind of the way things are looking, any rate, for the moment, for politics. And Texas voters today overwhelmingly approved constitutional ban on same-sex marriage, making their state the 19th to take that step. In Maine, however, a proposal to repeal a new gay rights law is trailing in early returns. In California, voters had a chance to embolden or embarrass Governor Schwarzenegger as they consider four measures promoted as part of a power struggle with legislators and public employee unions. The contest in Texas was decided quickly. The ban was receiving more than 74% of the votes in early returns. Like every other state except Massachusetts, Texas didn't permit same-sex marriages previously, but the constitutional amendment was touted as an extra guard against future court rulings. Okay. Well, anyway, we want to take a look at the weather. We know some of you are on your way to work, so here it is.
Right now in Greenville, Spartanburg, 61 degrees. Downtown, 55. Anderson, 54. Clemson, 60 degrees. Today, patchy fog this morning, otherwise partly cloudy, near record highs in the lower 80s and west winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. And Dr. Coben has been writing his newest book, which is The Christian Theology of Public Policy, Highlighting the American Experience. And under each chapter, he puts a few quotations down, a few famous quotations. And here's one from Chapter 2, The Nature of the State, by Thomas Jefferson. I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences of attending too much liberty than attending those attending too small a degree of it.
Okay, and that reminds me that next week on Monday we're going to have the famous Dave Black from Dave Black Online. He's the professor at Southeastern Theological Seminary in I believe it's Winston-Salem. Maybe mistaken about that, but somewhere where the Southern Baptists are, he's up there, and he's a strong constitutionalist, and we'll be looking forward to having him on the show next Monday. Should be calling in around 7:45 in the morning. Well, French riots continue despite emergency measure. France declared a state of emergency Tuesday to quell the country's worst unrest since the student uprisings of 1968 that toppled a government. And the prime minister said the nation faced a moment of truth over its failure to interrogate Arab immigrants and their children. Rioters ignored extraordinary security measures, which began Wednesday as they looted and burned two superstores, set fire to a newspaper office, and paralyzed France's second-largest city subway system with a gasoline bomb. Just over 600 cars were burned overnight, Tuesday, Wednesday, about half as many as the previous night, Claude Guérin, Interior Minister Nicolas Sarkozy, Chief of State, said. The measures, valid for 12 days, clear the way for curfews after nearly 2 weeks of rioting is neglected in impoverished neighborhoods with largely Muslim communities. Prime Minister Dominique de Villepin tacitly acknowledging that France had failed up to its egalitarian ideals, reached out to the heavily immigrant suburbs where the rioting began. He said France must take a priority of working against the discrimination that feeds the frustration of youths made to feel they do not belong to France. We must be lucid. The Republic is at a moment of truth, Villepin told Parliament. The effectiveness of our interrogation model is in question. He called the riots a warning and an appeal. Oh, interesting. So the government the government is thinking pretty seriously about what's going on over there, obviously. Whoa, maybe we better listen to these people. It's like voting in France. Instead of voting, you just have riots and burn 600 or 1,200 cars overnight. What else can you do there? Who knows? Well, anyway, that's kind of what's going on around the world in France. Let's see, what else is in the news here? Looks like we've got, student kills assistant principal, wounds two others in Tennessee high school shooting. So we have more news from the pagan seminary, indeed. Jacksboro, Tennessee. Where's that? Jacksboro. A teenager shot and killed an assistant principal and seriously wounded two other administrators at a high school on Tuesday, officials said. The student was arrested. I don't know what he was thinking or what his motives were, Sheriff Ron McClellan said. Campbell County High School assistant principal was shot in the chest just after 2 p.m. and died soon after in a hospital, law enforcement and school officials said. Timeline for major school shootings is on here on Fox News. It'd be interesting. The suspect was grazed in the hand by a bullet fired from his own .22 caliber handgun during a scuffle with the administrators, and an unidentified teacher helped wrestle the gun away, the sheriff said. No other students were injured. Principal Gary Seal was shot in the lower abdomen, and assistant principal Jim Pierce was shot in the chest. Seal was in serious condition and Pierce in critical condition at the University of Tennessee Medical Center. Wow, that's a tragedy, but this is a government school, so we're not surprised. This is the kind of stuff that goes on in government schools, we all know. And it's sad to see someone actually lose their life out there in one of those places. But on the other hand, we would like to see nothing better than the public school exposed for what it is. Every time there's something negative, we want to capitalize on that event and that moment to point out the nastiness of public schools, especially in places so close to home, like wherever Jacksboro, Tennessee is. Apparently it's close enough to be near Knoxville, which is not that far from us here in the upstate. It can happen here, folks. Don't let people lie to you and tell you that it can't. Oh, we're different around in the upstate of South Carolina. It's just simply not the case. In fact, it looks like the timeline of major fatal school shootings. We had March 21st, 2005, 16-year-old student Jeffrey Weiss killed 9 people, including his grandfather, grandmother's companion at home at the Red Lake High School in Red Lake, Minnesota. September 24th, John Jason McLaughlin awaits trial shooting at the deaths for Aaron Rollins, 17, and Seth Bartell, 14, who were fellow students at Ricori High School in Cold Spring, Minnesota. So a couple Minnesota ones. March 5th, 2001, Charles Andy Williams, 15, killed 2 fellow students and wounded 13 others at Santana High School in Santee, California. He was sentenced 50 years to life to prison. May 26, 2000, 13-year-old honor student Nathaniel Brazil killed his English teacher, Barry Grono, on the last day of classes at Lake Worth, Florida, convicted of second-degree murder, serving a 28-year sentence. February 9, 2000, a 6-year-old boy shot and killed a 6-year-old classmate in Buell Elementary School in Mount Morris Township, Michigan. Because of his age, the boy was not charged. 6 years old. Wow. Anyway, there's your violence in public schools. I know it's not every public school, but it's in plenty of them. That's a sad thing. Indeed, a very sad thing that's going on. Well, the Tyranny Response Network needs volunteers. If you can help out, give Chuck a call at 271-6761. We know we have lots of listeners who enjoy the show. In fact, Michael was just calling from Spartanburg at the beginning of the show. He was just looking for more information on Robert Clarkson. I heard that show recently. We're glad to have had Robert Clarkson on the show here, and we'll be glad to have other great guests, as well as bring you a great source of information from the right side of things, not just the neocon blather you hear on other radio stations. And there's all the euphoria about Republicans and Democrats. We calmly sit on the sidelines talking about what people really need to hear about, which is the truth. That's right, the truth. What those other places are telling you is some kind of perversion or distortion of the truth most of the time. And here on the Tyranny Response Network, especially Christian Worldview, we talk about issues seriously in a way that no one else does, because we bring out the truth of the matter as much as possible. So if you can help out the Tyranny Response Network, give Chuck a call at 271-6761, or go to the Contact tab, which is on the TyrannyResponse.com website or TyrannyResponseNet.net website, Click on the contact tab and any of the email addresses that appear there, just email somebody and let them know that you're able to work for an hour or two a month, and we'll be happy to put you to good use. It seems like we have a lot of needs right now, so by all means, get involved and help us out a little bit if you're able. All right, so we want to go and take a look at a few more, a few of the things the research staff members of TRN have sent up this morning. One is that Red Rosa Parks, Fabricating an American Icon by Henry Mackow, Ph.D., 11-5 of 05. Rosa Parks was not a simple seamstress whose lonely act of defiance in 1955 sparked a civil rights movement. In fact, she was a trained Communist Party activist. Her refusal to move back to the back of the bus wasn't a spontaneous gesture, but a provocation organized by her longtime employer, the National Association for Advancement of Colored People. And last week, Rosa Parks' body lay in state under the Capitol Rotunda, an honor accorded only 29 times in U.S. history to people like Abraham Lincoln, John Kennedy, and most recently Ronald Reagan. This treatment illustrates how the American political leaders and mass media public routinely deceive and betray the public. The New York Times obituary said her arrest turned a very private woman into a reluctant symbol and torchbearer. President Clinton said her action ignited the most significant social movement in American history. While I support the ostensible aims of the civil rights movement, I have to ask, given its communist sponsorship, what is the hidden agenda? And that's a great question to ask, and there is a communist agenda there. Why wouldn't there be, among communists, a movement among races, racial groups that are trying or vying for power or more recognition or whatever else? It makes sense. Communists always pick on groups where there are people who are either upset with their current situation or trying to make a big improvement or change in their situation and have been frustrated by doing so through the political process or otherwise. Communists latch on to those people, promise them things if they just join hand in hand with the communists, and they move on. Now, communists are going under a different name nowadays. They're usually social Democrats, Clinton Democrats perhaps, but hardcore communists are hard to come by. There's only a few of them left. And they even places like the New School and University of Colorado Boulder and UMass Amherst, those universities, which are the traditional strongholds for communists in this country, aren't talking too loudly about communism anymore. They're talking about a revived sort of Marxism. They're using different language to describe what they're after, sustainable development. Anytime you see that word, you can pretty much be assured you're talking about some kind of communism. Or socialism applied to the modern world. Okay, here's a poll from the Washington Times. 83% want English as state's official tongue. That's the Washington Times by S.A. Miller, November 8th. A recent poll shows that 83% of Maryland voters in favor of that they would require most of state and local government businesses to be conducted in English. The poll by nonpartisan Gonzalez Research and Marketing Strategies and bolsters Maryland lawmakers seeking to make English the official state language. I guess that makes some sense. We're in America. People speak English here, so let's make it the official language. But in the meantime, we're going to take a break. This is Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904. 864-244-8177 or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
A patriot must always be ready to defend his country against his government. Edward Abbey.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
You are listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, 97.7 FM in Greenville, 87.9 FM in Spartanburg and Liberty, and 96.5 FM in Piedmont.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? The power of positive change is in your hands when you vote for libertarians. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find there are regular people like you concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. In Greenville, the business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at the library on Augusta Road, north of I-85, one block before reaching Malden Road. Visitors are welcome. The Spartanburg monthly meeting is on the first Thursday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at the private dining room at the world-famous Beacon Drive-In. Also, to talk politics, join us in Greenville for the Libertarian Underground at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's at Cafe Underground just off of Main Street downtown. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on the Tyranny Response Network. Indeed. Election, says George Bernard Shaw, are decided by the votes of the uneducated many for the corrupt few. That's a good quote. The TRN researchers found that. They're going to put that on one of the pages of my new book. Elections are decided by the votes of the uneducated many for the corrupt few. Good stuff, don't you think? Sounds reasonable. Real reasonable. Sounds accurate. Indeed. Okay. Well, here are some other stories going on. This one looks like it's from England. Let's see what it has to say. Rotten Borough, the antidote to local authority websites. Elections are decided by the votes of the uneducated many for the corrupt few, says George Bernard Shaw. I tried to be a local councillor in the town of Berkhamsted in the county of Hertfordshire in the southeast of England. I hope to represent the interests of the people who elected me. Instead, I became an insignificant part of a bloated system designed to serve the personal interests of its employees and their cronies, especially the rich men who run big companies. Satisfactory local services are not being delivered. People who complain usually are lied to. The government tries to pretend that there is not much wrong with the system, and meanwhile, local taxes go up by more than the rate of inflation every year. I expect this extortion will continue until civil disobedience persuades those complacent politicians to do something about it. Disobedience might as well get its start here. And so he's starting his new website to start call for civil disobedience in England. Maybe they'll do what they do in France, not just disobey, they'll start burning things, 1,200 cars a night. Only 600 cars last night. A light night in France. What do you know? All right, well, with regard to the penny tax in Pickens County, this was the big deal about raising sales taxes so the public school or the pagan seminary could get better buildings and things. And thankfully, The voters opposed to the question, it looks like they had 65% of the vote. The voters in favor of it, of this having this this penny tax, so-called penny tax, are only 34%. And in the second school district, it's almost the same, 62% no, 37.5% yes. So it looks like no new tax in Pickens County, so that's good news. And maybe we'll even have one of our Pickens County people call in and tell us a little bit more about that and the euphoria they must be feeling for not having to pay that extra tax. All right, here's one that says, covering up napalm in Iraq. This is a story by Mike Whitney on ZNEC. Covering up napalm in Iraq. You smell that? Do you smell that? Napalm, son. Nothing else in the world smells like that. I love the smell of napalm in the morning. You know, one time we had a hill bomb for 12 hours. When it was all over, I walked up. We didn't find one of them. Not one stinking dink body. The smell, you know, that gasoline smell, the whole hill smelled like victory, said Robert Duvall in Apocalypse Now, 1979. 2 weeks ago, the UK Independent ran an article which confirmed that the U.S. had lied to Britain over the use of napalm in Iraq. Since then, not one American newspaper or TV station has picked up the story, even though the Pentagon has verified the claims. This is the extent to which the American free press is yoked to the center of power in Washington. As we've seen with the Downing Street memo, which was reluctantly reported 5 weeks after, 5 weeks after it appeared in the British press, with the airtight American media ignores any story that doesn't embrace the collective support of the war. The prospect that the U.S. military is using universally reviled weapons runs counter to the media-generated narrative that the war was motivated by humanitarian concerns to topple a brutal dictator, as well as to eliminate the elusive weapons of mass destruction. We can now say with certainty that the only WMDs in Iraq were those that were introduced by foreign invaders from the U.S. who had used them to subjugate the indigenous people. Despite persistent rumors, says the UK Independent, of injuries among Iraqis consistent with the use of incendiary weapons such as napalm, the Pentagon insisted that the U.S. forces had not used a new generation of incendiary weapons, codenamed MK-77, in Iraq. The Pentagon lied. Defense Minister Adam Ingram admitted the U.S. had misled the British High Command about the use of napalm, but he would not comment on the extent of the cover-up. The use of firebombs puts the U.S. in breach of the 1980 Convention on Certain Chemical Weapons, CCW, and is a violation of the Geneva Protocol against the use of white phosphorus, since its use causes indiscriminate and extreme injuries when deployed in an urban area. Regrettably, indiscriminate and extreme injuries are a vital part of the American terror campaign in Iraq, a well-coordinated strategy designed to spawn panic through random acts of violence. It's clear that the military never intended to use napalm in Iraq, Their conventional weaponry and laser-guided technology are already enough to run roughshod over the Iraqi army and seize Baghdad almost unobstructed. Napalm was introduced simply to terrorize the Iraqi people, to pacify through intimidation. Cheney, Rumsfeld, and Negroponte are old hands at terrorism, dating back to their counterinsurgency projects in Nicaragua and El Salvador under the Reagan administration. They know that the threat of immolation serves as a powerful deterrent and fits seamlessly into their overarching scheme to rule through fear. Terror and deception are the rotating parts of the same axis. The two imperatives of the Bush-Cheney foreign policy strategy, napalm in Fallujah. Okay, well, they're human fireballs and melted corpses. These are real expressions of Operation Iraqi Freedom, not the bland platitudes issuing from the presidential podium. Lots more to read here, but sad, disgusting sorts of things we're reading. Hate to see it. War is truly a hell, especially when we are the aggressors. I say we, I'm talking about the American state. Aggressors in Iraq doing these things to people, destroying innocent lives. Not the part of the Christian worldview, folks. It's not. We're not to be in favor of aggressive warfare. I'm not saying we can't fight if we're attacked. We can, and we should. It's part of self-defense is a good thing to have. But folks, what did Iraq do to us, Americans? I'm talking about Americans, that Christians should get behind them and support. There's nothing that they've done. There's not even evidence now that Saddam Hussein was as bad as people say that he is, or we're saying. Could be that George Bush is worse than Saddam Hussein. That's a shocking revelation. He's certainly doing a lot of terrible things on that side of the globe. So, anyway, okay, what else have we got on the news today? Traditional Values Coalition says urge your senators to confirm Judge Samuel Alito to the Supreme Court. Okay, here's from the typical evangelical wing of the neocons. November 8, 2005, send CapWiz letter to your two U.S. senators today asking that they support confirmation of Judge Samuel Alito to replace Sandra Day O'Connor on the U.S. Supreme Court. Judge Alito is well qualified to serve on the Supreme Court. He has spent the past 15 years as a judge on the 13th Circuit, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so Traditional Values Coalition likes Judge Alito. And the problem we have with Judge Alito is, as we've been getting other stories in the recent days, he does not seem like he's really a true, strict constitutionalist or originalist. He doesn't think the Constitution just goes on without need for change, like so many others do, as if it's a dynamic or living document. We also find that there are three cases in the last 10 years where Judge Alito has voted in favor of abortion rights. And so it's not clear at all that he's anything other than another suitor or a Kennedy on the court. He may be, but at first we were much more optimistic about him, his nomination, than we were about Harriet Myers. Now we have reason to doubt. Now we have a reason to doubt that this nomination will be a good choice. So anyway, that's something to be thinking about, folks, as you ponder this new nominee. If you have a question or comment about Samuel Alito, we'd love to hear from you. 864-244-9904. That's 864-244-9904 or 864-244-8177. Give a call to the show and let us know what you're thinking. All right, the Worldviews Project has now published the recent book called Worldviews, Christian Theism versus Modern Materialism. It's by Dr. Stephen Yates, our friend here in the Upstate. You can get the book for $20.99, a $2 discount if you're a member of the Libertarian Party and Constitution Party and disclose that fact when you send your order in. There's also a charge of $2.50 for shipping and handling. You can order this book by mailing a note to the Worldviews Project, care of Dr. Yates, 3500 Pelham Road, Suite 216 in Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's the Worldviews Project, care of Dr. Yates, 3500 Pelham Road, Suite 216, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Remember, the Tyranny Response Network needs volunteers. Don't forget to give us a shout here at the Tyranny Response Network. Go to the website under the Contacts tab. That's at tyrannyresponse.com. And you'll find there a number of email addresses, links you can use, and we'll go ahead and put you to good use. Even if you can only work an hour a month or an hour a week, it would be very helpful to us and some of the things we're doing now. Remember, we're an entirely volunteer radio station. That's why you hear lots of good content throughout the day and not much in the way of commercials, because we're not a for-profit concern. So anyway, we'll look forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904, 864-244-8177, or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
I am for doing good to the poor, but I differ in the opinions of the means. I think the best way of doing good to the poor is not making them easy in poverty, but leading them or driving them out of it. Benjamin Franklin.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You are listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, 97.7 FM in Greenville, 87.9 FM in Spartanburg and Liberty, and 96.5 FM in Piedmont.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network, sensible radio that knows that open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. It's time for your next shock treatment.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben this ninth day of November 2005. And we're going to check the weather here. Why don't we go ahead and check the weather real quick? And then, well, we don't have the weather ready. Okay, let's go to the line here. We have Jonathan on the phone line. Jonathan, welcome to Christian Worldview. You have some exciting news for us, don't you? Jonathan, are you there?
Can you hear me?
I can. Go right ahead. We hear you. We hear you loud and clear.
All right. We were able to get a transmitter in Liberty. It reaches Liberty to East at 87.9.
Okay, that's great news. So Jonathan's letting us know that the new Liberty transmitter, which we've been patiently waiting for so long, is now up and running, and you should be hearing the signal on 87.9 now throughout Pickens County as well as in Anderson County. Jonathan, have you been able to tell if the signal quality is good down in Anderson County as well?
I have not been able to get to Anderson. I do know it's real Pickens County.
Okay. Well, by all means, let us know if you have any other updates throughout the day or tomorrow. Appreciate you calling and letting us know about that. Very exciting news.
No problem. Have a good day.
Okay, you too. Thank you for calling, Jonathan. All right, that's good. Well, for those listeners who just tuned in on this particular point, we've been waiting for some time to get the Liberty transmission area going. Now, currently, of course, we cover the rest of the upstate in Spartanburg and Greenville, but now we also apparently have our Pickens and Anderson County units going. So as you're driving down the freeway, I-85 through the upstate, you should be able to hear us everywhere. In fact, we're hoping that the Liberty transmitter, which is only going to be improved as it's continued to be upgraded, will be able to be heard all the way down to the Georgia state line, maybe eventually down into Abbeville. And so we're excited about that prospect. Good news as things expand here at the Tyranny Response Network. Anyway, we have to take a check at the weather now, and let's go ahead and do that.
Right now in Greenville, Spartanburg, it's 59 degrees. Downtown, also 59. Anderson, 56. And Clemson, also 59. Today, patchy fog this morning, otherwise partly cloudy, and highs in the lower 80s. And Dr. Coben has been writing his newest book, which is The Christian Theology of Public Policy, Highlighting the American Experience. And under each chapter, he writes, he puts down a few quotes there, famous quotes. And chapter 3 is Public Policy Theology in Historical Context. And here's a quote under that by Lord Acton. Power tends to corrupt. Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Oh, it's so true that absolute power tends to corrupt. And we've seen that so many times in history, have we not? I'm telling you, it's been a rough go down through history in dealing with states because they just are so evil. And why do I say states are evil? Well, the reason is pretty simple. I just count the bodies. 169 million people in the 20th century alone were killed. And that is a low number. More likely number is about 350 million people. These are non-combatants killed by their own governments. Another 40 million or so were killed as members of the military. And, of course, then there are the countless millions of people killed through state-sanctioned abortion policy, probably 50 million per year, maybe another billion total of children have been killed around the world in the last, during the 20th century, as far as we know. It's a total tragedy, a horrible thing that happens in the world today. So we're very sorry that sort of thing occurs and goes on. Well, let's give a quick plug for the tyrannyresponse.com website and our friends at the Times Examiner. The Times Examiner is the independent conservative voice of the Palmetto State. That's the Palmetto State. I'm going to get that pronunciation right one of these days. Are you tired of reading liberal columnists? The Times Examiner features outstanding conservative and libertarian columnists, including Dr. Coben, Dr. Walter Williams, Dr. Thomas Sowell, Dr. Marvin Olasky, Ben Graydon, Joe Sobrin, Phyllis Schlafly, Charlie Reese, and contributions from the homeschooling Sheen family. The Times Examiner supports home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, private property rights, gun ownership, Christian values, and our great Southern heritage. You can pick up a copy of the Times Examiner at newsstands around Greenville, South Carolina, or at their offices located at 44 Pine Knoll Drive. A full year subscription to the Times Examiner is only $25 in state and $27 out of state. You can call 864-268-0576 for your subscription. That's 864-268-0576. Hope you do. And if you need to place an ad in the Times Examiner, give David a call. Ask for him by name at 864-859-6817. That's 864-859-6817. Ask for David, and he'll help you set up an ad for your business in the Times Examiner. Help your business and help the paper out as well. Okay, at the bottom of that page on the Related Media tab on tyrannyresponse.com, we have the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition. That's to save your private property. We hope that you'll go and tune in and check it out. We'd like more people to get in there and sign that thing. It takes about 30 seconds to do. And you'll send a message to the South Carolina legislators that they need to protect fundamental rights here in South Carolina. They're natural. They're come as a gift from God, antecedent to the existence of the state. And we want people to sign that and let that be known. That includes your private property, folks, and especially since people are so prone now in the state to take away your property, even though it really already is theirs. If you understand anything about allodialism and feudalism, you realize that we've really lost that battle long ago, unfortunately. And the state is now the true owner of all property, unfortunately. And that's why if you don't pay your property tax or obey their regulations, they just take it away from you. It's a sad thing, a sad state of affairs, to say the least, but that is indeed the way things go, unfortunately. All right, well, at any rate, those are a few good announcements. Want to welcome again all the folks who are just surprised as they hear my voice here in Anderson and Pickens counties. We're excited about the fact that transmitter is actually up and going, and we're also excited about the prospects of Columbia coming on and not too distant future. So we're expanding little by little with the volunteer efforts here at the Tyranny Response Network, and we're going to continue to do so to help bring great programming and bring the truth to people throughout the upstate of South Carolina. Okay, well, let's go back and do a couple more stories here if we can. I would like to be able to do that at least. We have always sent to us intriguing things by the research staff at the Tyranny Response Network. Here's one called Deficits at Home, Welfare Abroad. That's Deficits at Home, Welfare Abroad. This is by Ron Paul. In the wake of Hurricanes Katrina and Rita, with an ongoing war in Iraq that costs more than $1 billion per week. Can you imagine that? It costs $1 billion per week. Taxpayers might think Congress has better things to do with $21 billion than send it overseas. And that's exactly what Congress did last Friday, approving a useless and counterproductive foreign aid spending bill. Never mind the total Federal Reserve debt has already topped $8 trillion. Excuse me, the total federal debt topped $8 trillion. Or that a major U.S. city was virtually destroyed only a few months ago. Arrogant is the only word to describe a U.S. Congress that cares so little about its own taxpaying citizens while pretending to know what is best for the world. Consider just a few of the ways your money will be used under the new bill. $638 million for the unelected Musharraf government in Pakistan. $735 million to continue dangerous drug meddling in South America, $150 million for the development of Gaza, in addition to the billions already gave to the Palestinians every year, $110 million for the Middle East Partnership Initiative, ostensibly for economic development, although the recent nations include oil-rich Kuwait and Saudi Arabia. Why in the world are American taxpayers giving to OPEC governments? Over $500 million for various republics in the former Soviet Union. Even though those nations spawn millionaires and even billionaires, Americans are expected to provide welfare for their poor. $95 million in new money to the United Nations Democracy Fund, which meddles with foreign governments but never seems to change them. $34 million to pro-abortion United States Population Fund, which lectures poor people about having too many children. $440 million for international population planning. The $80 million for the dubious Global Environment Facility run by the World Bank to fund anti-capitalist environmental projects around the world. Constitutionally, of course, none of this spending is authorized, but there is also a strong moral case to be made against taking money from Americans and giving it to foreign governments. Foreign aid doesn't help poor people. It helps foreign elites and U.S. corporations who obtain the contacts doled out by these foreign elites. Everyone in Washington knows this, but the same lofty rhetoric is used over and over to sell foreign aid programs. Corporate welfare is bad enough, but corporate welfare in the guise of helping poor foreigners is indecent. In many cases, foreign aid money simply distorts foreign economies and props up bad governments. And countries that pursue harmful economic policies and infusion of U.S. cash only exacerbates and prolongs problems. No amount of money can help nations that reject private property rights, free markets, and the rule of law. Since American foreign aid programs began in earnest decades ago, tens of billions of U.S. tax dollars have been given to nations around the globe. The utter failure of this money to change things for the better in those nations is no longer in question. Even the most earnest advocates deep down must admit the obvious. Most of the recipient nations remain endlessly mired in poverty, political and legal corruption, and cultural malaise. A rational person would argue that failed aid programs should be eliminated. In Washington, however, failed programs get more money thrown at them. The American public deserves to know why there is room in the budget for foreign aid when taxpayers face record deficits and debt at home. And that was from Representative Dr. Ron Paul, the Republican member of Congress from Texas, who actually was a former libertarian presidential candidate. He's just masquerading as a Republican. We know his true views, what his true views are, and we appreciate him very much. And you are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben this morning. We're going to run to a quick break here, and we'll be right back.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904, 864-244-8177, or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
The inherent vice of capitalism is the unequal sharing of the blessings. The inherent blessing of socialism is the equal sharing of misery. Winston Churchill.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Well, here's another terrible story going on. In the University of Tennessee system, six Tennessee football players were charged with gang rape. Chattanooga, Tennessee, six football players at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga have been charged with taking turns raping a drunken student after a party, a university spokesman said Tuesday. District Attorney Bill Cox declined to comment. Defense Attorney Jerry Summers, who is representing at least some of the players, called an afternoon conference. The charges stem from what the woman said was a gang rape on October 21st, the apartment of one of the players. Police said the woman told investigators she got drunk at a party and became separated from her friends when the party began to break about 2:30 a.m. She said she was taken to the apartment where 7 to 10 men took turns having sex with her. She said she objected and hit them, but they forced themselves on her. Well, this is a sad thing that's going on at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. That's another place that's close to home here, of course. A few hours drive, at any rate, from Greenville. If you could throw a rock, or as the crow flies, as we say, be a lot shorter than that. But all going on around us here. It's a sad state of affairs. Why is it that we have so much perverse activity? First of all, what's this woman doing getting drunk? That's the first question. She doesn't want to have these kind of problems. Then being alone with a bunch of drunk guys, second question. And then being out at 2:30 in the morning, and then being willing apparently to be taken to somebody's apartment. It's tragic and it's wrong, but let's face it, this woman was not the most sensible type of girl apparently, who had this happen. Now, these guys obviously don't have much sense either, and their disgusting lewdness and their actions are just deplorable. But, this is what happens when we have a materialistic, worldview. I'm sure these people aren't being taught the Christian worldview where they go to school, where they play football. The University of Tennessee is not known for being a bastion of Christian conservatism or libertarian ideas or freedom-minded ideas. Instead, it's a bastion of liberalism. And so, at any rate, this is a sad tale. Just happened not too long ago, but it's recently come to light. And so, that's the way it goes. Well, what do we have here from baseball news? Speaking of bad football news, let's talk about good baseball news. Looks like Bartolo Colon wins the Cy Young Award. Well, this is important news. Bartolo Colon won the American League Cy Young Award on Tuesday in a surprisingly one-sided vote, becoming the first Angels pitcher in 41 years to take home the honor. Colon, who led the league with 21 wins, was listed first on 17 ballots and second on the other 11 for 118 points in voting by the Baseball Writers Association. He was the only pitcher named on every ballot, easily beating our New York Yankees reliever Mario Rivera, who received 68 points. Rivera got 8 first place votes, while 2004 winner John Santana of the Minnesota Twins received 3 and finished 3rd. Okay, well, anyway, sounds like Bartolo there, who was a good pitcher, and the one who hurt his back during the series with the Yankees, as I recall, wins the Cy Young Award. Now, the National League Cy Young Award, let me check with my producer. That hasn't been announced yet. Did I miss that? National League? Well, we're pretty sure that we might have a guess at any rate who would win that, but I don't think the National League one has been announced yet. Okay, well, let's go and talk about a couple of... Oh, what's this fellow Sanders in San Diego that won? Was he the Libertarian down there? No, he was the mild-mannered Republican. All right. I noticed that there was a Libertarian running for a while in San Diego, and I'd be really surprised if he could win out there, but he didn't, as a matter of fact, and there was a mild-mannered Republican who seems to have won the race in San Diego. Well, we received this notice some time ago that came off of rents.com. It has to do with a call to the Federal Reserve System. Now, some people aren't familiar with what goes on at the Federal Reserve System, so we thought it'd be worth taking some time this morning to read the conversation with Mr. Ron Sapinski of the Public Information Department of the San Francisco Federal Reserve Bank. This is an account of that conversation. Caller, Mr. Sapinski, does my country own the Federal Reserve System? Some of our listeners aren't going to know what the Federal Reserve System is. Well, if you look on your bills in your wallet, what do they say on them? It says Federal Reserve Note. That's right. That's because these are the people who print your money. The Federal Reserve is a group or a corporation that prints your money. It works for the U.S. government in one way, shape, or form, and is in charge of printing the currency, as well as doing a lot of other things with having to do with banking and regulation. And he says, Mr. Sapinski, does my country own the Federal Reserve? Mr. Sapinski said, we are an agency of the government. Caller, that's not my question. Is it owned by my country? Mr. Sapinski said, it's an agency of the government created by Congress. Caller, is the Federal Reserve a corporation? Mr. Sapinski, yes. Caller, does my government own any stock in the Federal Reserve? Mr. Sapinski, no. It is owned by the member banks. Caller, are the member banks private corporations? Mr. Sapinski, yes. Are the Federal Reserve notes backed by anything? Yes, by the assets of the Federal Reserve, but primarily by the power of Congress to lay tax on the people. Caller, did you say by the power to collect taxes is what backs Federal Reserve notes? And Mr. Sapinski says yes. What are the total assets of the Federal Reserve? The San Francisco Bank has $36 billion in assets. Caller, what are these assets composed of? Mr. Sapinski, gold, the Federal Reserve Bank itself, and government securities. Caller, what value does the Federal Reserve Bank carry gold per ounce on their books? Mr. Sapinski, I don't have that information, but the San Francisco Bank has $1.6 billion in gold. Caller, are you saying the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco has $1.6 billion in gold, the bank itself and the balance of the assets is government securities? Mr. Sapinski, yes. Caller, where does the Federal Reserve get the Federal Reserve notes from? Mr. Sapinski, they are authorized by the Treasury. Caller, how much does the Federal Reserve pay for a $10 Federal Reserve note? Mr. Sapinski, 50 to 70 cents. How much do they pay for a $100 Federal Reserve note? The same, 50 to 70 cents. Caller, to pay only 50 cents for $100, that's a tremendous gain, isn't it? Mr. Sapinski, yes. Caller, according to the U.S. Treasury, the Federal Reserve pays $20.60 per $1,000 denomination, or a little over 2 cents for a $100 bill. Is that correct? Mr. Sapinski, that's probably close. Caller, doesn't the Federal Reserve use the Federal Reserve notes that cost about 2 cents each to purchase U.S. bonds from the government? Mr. Sapinski, $263 billion, and we can only account for a small percentage. Oh, no, yes, that's basically correct. He said I read the next question. How many Federal Reserve notes are in circulation? About $263 billion, we can only account for a small percentage. Caller, where did they go? Sapinski says, people's mattresses buried in their backyards and illegal drug money. Really? Caller, since the debt is payable in Federal Reserve notes, how can the $4 trillion national debt be paid off with Federal Reserve notes in circulation? I don't know, he said. Caller, because the federal debt right now is $8 trillion, so it can't be paid off with the notes, obviously, because there's only 263 in circulation. It could be paid off because most people do not keep all their money in Federal Reserve notes. You keep them in bank accounts, for instance, or in other securities and things that could be sold for new Federal Reserve notes. Anyway, he says he doesn't know how it could be paid off. Caller asks him, if the federal government would collect every Federal Reserve note in circulation, would it be mathematically possible to pay the $4 trillion in national debt? And Sapinski said no. Caller, am I correct when I say $1 deposit in a member bank, for every $1, $8 can be lent through the financial or fractional reserve policy? And he says about $7. Correct me if I'm wrong, said the caller. $7 of additional Federal Reserve notes were never put in circulation, but for lack of better words, were created out of thin air in the form of credits, and the 2 cents per denomination were not paid either. In other words, the Federal Reserve notes were not physically printed, but in reality were created by journal entry and lent at interest. Is that correct? Mr. Sapinski says yes. Is that the reason there are only $263 billion in Federal Reserve notes in circulation? Sapinski said that is part of the reason. Caller said, am I mistaken that when the Federal Reserve Act was passed on Christmas Eve in 1913, it transferred power to coin and issue our money, nation's money, and regulate the value therefrom from Congress to a private corporation? And my country now borrows what should be our own money from the Federal Reserve, a private corporation, plus interest. Is that correct? And the debtor and the debt can never be paid off under the current money system of our country. Mr. Sapinski says, basically, yes. Caller said, I smell a rat, do you? Mr. Sapinski, I'm sorry, I can't answer that. I work here. Caller said, has the Federal Reserve ever been independently audited? Mr. Sapinski said, we are audited. Caller, why is there a current House Resolution 1486 calling for a complete audit of Federal Reserve by the GAO, and why is the Federal Reserve resisting? Mr. Sapinski says, I don't know. Caller, does the Federal Reserve regulate the value of the Federal Reserve notes and interest rates? Mr. Sapinski says, yes. Caller says, explain how the Federal Reserve system can be constitutional if only the Congress of the U.S., which comprises of the Senate and the House of Representatives, have the power to coin and issue the money supply and regulate the value thereof. Article 1, Section 1, and Clause 8. Excuse me. Nowhere in the Constitution does it give Congress the power or authority to transfer any powers granted in the Constitution to a private corporation, does it? Sapinski said, I'm not an expert on constitutional law. I can refer you to our legal department. Caller, I can tell you I have read the Constitution. It does not provide that any power granted can be transferred to a private corporation. Doesn't it specifically state in all powers not granted are reserved to the states and to the citizens? Does that mean private corporations too? Sapinski said, I don't think so, but we were created by Congress. Caller, would you agree that it is our country and should be our money as provided by our Constitution? Mr. Sapinski said, I understand what you're saying. Caller, why would we borrow our own money from a private consortium of bankers? Isn't this why we had a revolution, created a separate sovereign nation and a Bill of Rights? Mr. Sapinski declined to answer. Caller, has the Federal Reserve ever been declared constitutional by the Supreme Court? Sapinski, I believe there has been court cases on the matter. Have there been any Supreme Court cases? Sapinski said, I think so, but I'm not sure. Didn't the Supreme Court declare unanimously in ALA's Schechter Poultry Corporation versus U.S. and Carter versus Carter Coal Company this state cooperative state arrangement of an unconstitutional delegation of legislative power? The power conferred in this power to regulate, this is legislative delegation in its most obnoxious form, where it's not even delegation to an official body presumptively disinterested, but to private persons. Mr. Sapinski said, I don't know. I can refer you to our legal department. Caller, isn't the current money system a house of cards that must fall because the debt can mathematically never be paid off? Mr. Sapinski said, it appears that way. I can tell you I've been looking into this matter and are very... I can tell you have been looking into this matter and are very knowledgeable. However, we do have a solution. And he said, what's the solution? Mr. Sapinski said, the debit card. You mean under the EFT Act, Electronic Funds Transfer Act, isn't that very frightening when one considers the capabilities of computers? It would provide the government and all its agencies, including the Federal Reserve, with such information as you went to the gas station at 2:30 and bought $10 of unleaded gas for $1.41 a gallon, and then you went to the grocery store at 2:58 and bought bread, lunch meat, and milk for $12.32, and then you went to the drugstore at 3:30 and bought cold medicine for $5.62. In other words, they would know where we go, where we went, and what we paid, and how much the merchant paid, and how much profit we made. Under the EFT, they would literally know everything about us. Isn't that kind of scary? Mr. Sapinski said, yes, it makes you wonder. Caller, I smell a giant rat that has overthrown my Constitution. Aren't we paying tribute in form of income taxes, a consortium of private bankers? Mr. Sapinski said, I can't call it tribute, it's interest. Caller, haven't all elected officials taken an oath of office to preserve and defend the Constitution from enemies, both foreign and domestic? Isn't the Federal Reserve a domestic enemy? And Mr. Sapinski says, I can't say that. Are elected officials and members of the Federal Reserve guilty of aiding and abetting and overthrowing of my Constitution, and that is treason? Isn't it the punishment of treason, death? Mr. Sapinski said, I believe so. Thank you for your time and information, if I may say so. I think you should take the necessary steps to protect you and your family and withdraw your money from the banks before they collapse. I am. Mr. Sapinski said, it doesn't look good. Caller said, may God have mercy on the souls who are behind this unconstitutional and criminal act called the Federal Reserve. With the almighty mass, when the almighty mass awakens to this giant hoax, they will not take it with a grain of salt. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and I thank you for your time. I hope you will take my advice before it does collapse. Mr. Sapinski, unfortunately, it does not look good. Caller, have a good day, and thanks for your time. Mr. Sapinski, thanks for calling. And you are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back after the Bill of Rights, of all things, in just a few minutes.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904, 864-244-8177, or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
You are listening to Homeschooler Friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces, or in the militia, when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
You are listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, 97.7 FM in Greenville, 87.9 FM in Spartanburg and Liberty, and 96.5 FM in Piedmont. Government is the great fiction through which everybody endeavors to live at the expense of everybody else. Frederick Bastiat.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben this 9th day of November 2005. Glad you joined us. Glad to announce that the coverage in the upstate has expanded greatly today, as we are now also in Liberty and Pickens County and Anderson County strongly. Before, we were just on the fringes of it in Powdersville and Piedmont. And now you can tune into 87.9 throughout the that side of the upstate. In fact, 87.9 is also the our frequency up in Spartanburg, and that whole area all the way up through Gaffney and Landrum and so forth, and up in the upstate corner that way. In Greenville, it's 97.7. In Powdersville, there's still a 96.5 transmitter, but now I think the with the Liberty edition, the Powdersville and Piedmont will be a much stronger signal on 87.9 as well. So check it out. If you are driving about today, do give us a call and let us know how the signal is out in the Anderson or Pickens area. We'd be glad to hear from you. All right, well, you're listening to Christian Worldview, but we have a time now to look at the weather. Let's take a quick look.
Right now in Greenville, Spartanburg, it's 59 degrees. Downtown, 59 also. Anderson, 56. And Clemson, 59. Today, patchy fog this morning, otherwise partly cloudy, and highs in the lower 80s. And Dr. Kerwin has a writing a new book, and it's called The Christian Theology of Public Policy, Highlighting the American Experience. And under each chapter, he puts down a few quotations, few famous quotations, and Chapter 3 is called Public Policy Theology in Historical Context, and here's one by Thomas Jefferson. Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of others, of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others, or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question.
Indeed, we will let history answer that question, and we'll let people know right now that we do not find angels in the forms of men to govern other men. As a matter of fact, statesmen are truly do not exist. The only time we ever get people who operate in the form that Jefferson did, or Washington, or Adams, James Madison, people of that caliber, are people who win revolutions effectively. They're the ones that cast out the state and try to set up true liberty as an ideal, limited government as an ideal. Under those circumstances, you can have great leaders, and you might even call them statesmen, although I think it's a really demeaning term to call anybody, relate anybody to the state like that. But nevertheless, that is your only opportunity, I think, to have good rulers. Other than that, once the political process starts in any kind of representative state, you only get corruption, you get people who are obviously seeking their own self-interest and trying to preserve it as their role model or their modus operandi in the world. And they serve their own, to be favor peddlers, power brokers. They serve to pad their own pockets, to promote their own power and integrity over against the so-called public interest, which really is a very specious term, any rate, a specious idea. I mean, you've heard these things talk about in public policy, folks, things like the public interest. But what is the public interest? Can there be such a thing as the public interest or the public good? Well, unless you're talking about reactive functions of government, limited government, such as national defense against invasion, or even defense against a microorganism, perhaps, or if you're talking about criminal justice, it's very hard to decide what the public good is. Because some people might say that the public good and what's important about having the state is that it builds aircraft carriers. Another person might like it because it builds public schools. Another person might like it because it sends people to the moon. I mean, there are all sorts of different preferences people have, and on any particular issue, you're going to have people that are in favor of it and dissenting. And you can't simply aggregate all the preferences of people to come up with the public interest. First of all, you can't even know what their preferences are. You can't have any idea what people are actually wanting in general, because you can't ask all 300 million people. But you can get bureaucrats' preferences, and the public interest tends to be what a few lobbyists or bureaucrats tend to think is most important in life, and they are the ones that go on record as telling you what the public interest is. All right, well, it looks like we have a caller on the line. We like to go to the phones right now. This is Dr. John Coben of Christian Worldview. Who am I speaking with?
Well, this is Election Center in Pickens County.
Oh, well, congratulations, Election Center. I understand you guys had a great victory yesterday and were able to defeat the penny tax.
Yes, it happened, and it happened by quite a margin, as you read on the show before. And This was interesting, being around the polls yesterday. There were a lot of people appeared that didn't normally appear.
Mm-hmm.
We had down there in Flat Rock, there were about 240 votes. We just went about 20% of the registered voters in that section. I don't know how they did in other parts of the county.
Okay. But the it's been defeated. The government school is not going to get any more money from this by a resounding margin. It's something like 65-35, right?
Yeah, yeah. They were told what the people seemed to think. In chatting with some of the older folks, you know, old landowners and so forth, you get these comments about people saying, you know, they taxed me for this and they taxed me for that, and they're beginning to. The waters of taxation are becoming I don't know if you could call it critical mass, where people are going to say, no more, I don't want to do this anymore. My taxes went up about $200 last year, and another friend of mine pays $150 a month on some buildings that he has, and another guy came by and said they taxed him on a building that's actually falling down. And he says it's not going to be there next year. The fire department's going to go down and practice on it.
Yeah.
But they still came out there and taxed them on a standing building.
Well, that's interesting. Okay. So, well, that's good news. It's nice to hear that Pickens County has enough people willing to stand up against government waste, and especially when it goes to something like the Pagan Seminary. Supporting Pagan Seminaries is one of those obnoxious things that we have to do if we want to own real property, or at least obtain the privilege of possessing and using the real property. We really don't own it. But listen, while you're there in Pickens County, have you turned on 87.9 yet?
Well, I'm down the hill there from. Yeah, I did already, and I couldn't get it. Somebody else was stepping on you.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess we need to let people know that's the case. So
I might not be a good. Example of that, because I'm, you know, way down the hill and a few miles away from Liberty, where that antenna is.
Okay, all right. Well, that's good to know. We'll see what we can do. I'm sure we'll need some tweaking on things as we go along here, but it's good to know that that at least it's up and running. And thanks for that report.
Yeah, well, I'll spread the word out there. I got to hit downtown Liberty today myself.
Okay.
Let me ask you a question. You know, while the iron is hot, shall we say, and everybody's going to go whining and crying back to their committees, and you know, how are we going to get all this money, and we're not going to get new buildings, and the restrooms are going to have to remain dirty, and all that sort of thing. Do any of your TRN listeners or you public policy specialists know how we might be able to awaken the public to perhaps... seeing what private enterprise could do for their own education?
Well, you're asking if there are any listeners that can do, or what? I mean,
you, the listeners. You know, I'm looking, you know, while the iron's hot, and people are saying, you know, we don't want to spend any more money. Then they're going to come back and say, well, how are you going to get your kids educated if you don't spend all this money? And I'd like to see if somehow we can. There are a few people in the system or around the system that are known in the communities. That perhaps could get the ear of the community.
Yeah, well, there is, you know, private education has been going on for centuries, has it not, Greg? I mean, we know that before, if there weren't any public schools effectively until the mid 19th century, and and even then they were relatively sporadic, small. Until the 20th century, public schooling did not take off as a huge entity. It was like a flash in the pan in terms of history. It sparked, it exploded, went great, and then just blew up, literally blew apart to what we have now, where it's a center of violence, paganism, anti-Christian values, immorality, and so forth. So at any rate, the private system, though, has been around for a long time, and people have always educated at home, obviously, for thousands of years. Homeschooling has been the most predominant form of education in the history of the world, clearly. And then private tutoring and private parochial schools or Christian schools have also been around for some time, especially the tutoring aspect. I mean, that goes back for centuries. Christian schooling really was a response, in large measure, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, to the advent of public schooling. So the idea of Christian schools has only been around, you know, since the mid-19th century as well.
Well, I was told in the things that I have read, we talk in colonial times, oftentimes it was when you read in the literature of the times when somebody refers to a public school, it was actually a church run by a school run by a church.
Yeah.
And so it was public, and that anybody that could come, anybody that would come could come.
Right. So they were willing to let anybody come who wanted to, is what you're saying. That's in that mm-hmm. sense, it was public. Okay.
And whether or not the church financed it, or they would charge you so much to come. When you heard the literature, and when you read in the literature the term public school, don't be fooled, because it was actually something, it was a private enterprise, or a church enterprise, if you will.
Right.
That was open to the public.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Okay. Well, I'd heard that as well. That's basically the way things went at the inception, at any rate. You know, Greg, we got to go to a break here. I don't know if you want to hold on for a second. Otherwise, we'll hang up now.
All right. If that's all for today, I'll just hang up and listen.
Okay, Greg. Thanks a lot for calling. We'll talk to you again real soon. You are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904, 864-244-8177, or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
You are listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, 97.7 FM in Greenville, 87.9 FM in Spartanburg and Liberty, and 96.5 FM in Piedmont.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
That we are here to stand by the president, right or wrong, is not only unpatriotic and servile, but is morally treasonable to the American public. Theodore Roosevelt.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, the final segment for November 9th, 2005. Glad you've joined us today. A big welcome to those folks in Anderson and Pickens counties, too, who are now listening to the show on 87.9 and looking forward to more reports. Although we've heard one report that so far from Greg that it may not be able to be heard everywhere. So we're hoping to improve that as time goes on. Glad at least it's up and operating so that that side of the upstate can now be tuned into the show. All right, here is an article by Lawrence Vance. We do like Lawrence Vance, not necessarily for his views on theology like Calvinism, soteriology, the doctrine of salvation, or his views on the radical perspective of the King James Version. I prefer the received text. I think the case can be made that the providential care of the text supports the majority text or even the received text argument, preferably the majority text argument. But to say that the actual words in 1611 were inspired in some special way so that in the English language there is no other translation that can be used, even from those same Greek manuscripts, is very problematic for me. And they also have this theory, and I think Vance holds to this, where you go overseas to other places where they don't speak English and find people around the same time who are so similarly inspired to write their own translations in their language. They're only for these very old, you know, old antiquated translations with older English, and I don't see any point of that. But anyway, apparently Vance also holds to some of those things. I haven't read much on that issue, but aside from those two foibles, which I think they are foibles, his work on Christians in war is fantastic. And this article, Think Christian, is worth our time to consider here at the end of the show today. George H.W. Bush said on December 1992, "And so to every sailor, soldier, airman, and marine who's involved with this mission, let me say to you, you're doing God's work." George W. Bush says in 2005, "And to those watching tonight who are considering a military career, there is no higher calling than service in our armed forces." That's what he says, George W. Bush. Even though the war in Iraq is a miserable reality, even though the number of dead American soldiers is approaching the 1,800 mark, and actually now it's, 2,050-some, so this article is a little dated. Doesn't even have a date on this article. Well, it can't be too long ago. Say only a couple hundred dead soldiers ago, whatever that was, a few weeks maybe. Even though there are more prisoner abuse scandals are unfolding, even though the number of insurgents is growing, and even though the war on terrorism is creating more terrorists, still Christians are defending Bush, the war, and the military. No matter how anti-Christian Bush's actions are, some Christians continue to defend him because he professes to be a Christian. It doesn't matter how often he lies. How often the lies that got us into the war in Iraq are exposed, many Christians still support the war. They're just upset about the manner in which it has been fought. But the worst thing is that no matter what their opinion of Bush or any president of this war or any war, most Christians persist in their holy sacrosanct reverence for the military. In fact, it appears that support for the military among Christians is actually growing. The troops are now the object of pity. Isn't it terrible that they don't get to see their families for weeks and months on end? Isn't it disgraceful that they lack the armor they need for protection? Isn't it tragic that they might suffer from psychological health issues after they return from Iraq? And, horror of horrors, they are facing injury or death every day as they fight for our freedoms. Never mind that every soldier in Iraq joined the military body. Never mind that every member of the Guard and Reserve knew that he might be called to active duty. Never mind that no American soldier has any business in Iraq. Never mind that every soldier harbors doubts about the wisdom of the U.S. military being in Iraq at 100 years of American foreign interventions to learn from. Never mind that every soldier who participates in U.S. wars interventions ignoring the wisdom of the Founding Fathers. Never mind that the military does very little to actually defend the United States. Just never mind. Support the troops, defend the troops, pray for the troops, write to the troops, send the troops, send things to the troops, applaud the troops, make apologies for the troops, worship the troops. Just never mind where they are, how they were sent there, what they were doing there, and why, when they are leaving. Many Christians have practically elevated military service to the level of the Christian ministry. Both presidents named George Bush have done so, as the above quotations show. Christian defenders of the military ought to pay more attention to the words of those who have been in the military instead of disqualifying me from criticizing the military because I have never served. The following comments about life in the military are from my readers. Although the Bible says that in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established, 2 Corinthians 13:1, I present here four witnesses. My first witness is R.M., an Army veteran from Massachusetts. I remember my Vietnam-era service. Pornography in the PX and prostitution downtown Leesville were readily available at Fort Polk. Sometime the drugs were so pervasive and the billets that I thought we might draw anti-aircraft fire. The place got so high. Alcohol abuse, no comment necessary. Kipling said it best, "Men who live in the barracks are never plaster saints." My second witness is J.O., a Marine Corps veteran from Colorado. "I just finished reading God Bless Our Troops, and I agree 100%. I served from 89 to 93 U.S. Marine Corps Infantry, along with growing up in a military as a military dependent. I know from many of those Christians who are just as you described. It boggles my mind to hear their comments regarding the military, especially since most admit they have not served or have been a dependent of it at any point in their lives. They make the military, especially the Marines, and Army Infantry, MOSs, specifically out to be, well, almost like King Arthur's knights in shining armor or something. I am left scratching my head after hearing their descriptions and saying, but that's not how it is. The unit I was in along with men from other units, we mainly went out drinking, looking for sex, and the occasional fight at every Liberty call we got. That was just fun for us. I try to tell Christians some of my past experiences, but they don't want to hear it. I even went as far as to show some uncut raw Reuters footage of Marines in action in Iraq, and I found cussing at all. They either didn't want to see it or were offended by the cussing or something. As if they were walking away, as they were walking away, I say, why are you offended? It's just the way they talk is all. It's just like peacetime as well. On other occasion, I sit there laughing at some Marine's joke on a video, crude and sexual, and the Christians get really offended. Once again, I say it's just the sense of humor. Besides, it's really funny. I just don't understand Christians like Jerry Falwell, for example, and I'm still scratching my head because I never in my life experienced the type of military that he describes or envisions. My third witness is LG, an Army veteran from South Dakota. I just read your piece from today's Lou Rockwell. Well put, I find it hard to believe that many nominal Christians think the military is some kind of enclave of virtue. I was in the Army for 4 years, 84 to 88. Let us forget for a moment that the purpose of the military is to kill and destroy property, as if that's not bad enough. How does the military hold up when it comes to instilling Christian call values? Well, I was shocked at the pervasiveness of drunkenness and sexual immorality among my fellow soldiers. A half-hearted review of the divorce and unwed pregnancy statistics of military personnel would give one an outline for a book on military culture. Go to a VA hospital and see which department is the busiest. It will be the alcohol and drug treatment program. Military culture is rotten to the core, despite its clean-shaven, spit-shined facade, and it corrupts those who enter therein. My fourth witness is T.S., a Navy veteran in Florida. As a Christian, I made a foolish decision to enlist in the United States Navy. I served from 1990 to 1994. At the age of 18, I entered boot camp. I was placed in a company of 80 men. You hear this, homeschooled kids? Don't even think about entering the military. What a foolish choice it would be to do such a thing. Never did I meet one professing Christian. It was either molded to the ways of the others or be cast out. The military was a very few standards when it comes to sexual perversion, filthy communication, or alcohol abuse. The military does have some strict standards when it comes to drug abuse, but that did not stop two Marines and I from obtaining large sum of hashish in Spain. Many of the other Marines and sailors purchased drugs that were brought and used upon the ship. Pornography and sexual perversion is out of control within the United States military. Many a young man was first introduced to pornography within the military. God only knows the number of innocent minds that had been perverted. I can remember walking into a break room full of sailors on my ship, and there on the television I saw hardcore pornography. I still suffer from some of the things that my eyes saw in the Navy. I also recall military sponsoring strippers at the club on the base. I also became a drinker of alcohol within the military. It was easy to obtain alcohol on the Little Creek Amphibious Base from either club or from vending machines. The sale of drinking of alcohol is not discouraged but encouraged by many within the ranks of the United States military. All right, we're going to have to skip down to the bottom here because we're coming to the last minute. Think, Christian, the presence or absence of this Christian values of these witnesses was irrelevant. The eyewitness testimony. So aside from all that is wrong with the U.S. policy, foreign policy, wars, and interventions, why would a Christian even think of joining the U.S. military or reenlisting if he had the misfortune of already being in it? Because of September 11th, not even the Bush uses that excuse anymore. Because of money for college, the love of money is the root of all evil, 1 Timothy 6:10. Because of family tradition, some families have a tradition of gluttony and drunkenness. Because of the war on terrorism, our actions are making more terrorists. Because the military is fighting for our freedoms are fast disappearing. Because you have to go where they are to win them to Christ, it never is right to do wrong in order to get a chance to do right. But because of foreign tyrants, John Quincy Adams said America goes abroad not seeking monsters to destroy, Because the military is defending the country, the military is defending a lot of countries, but certainly not the United States, because there's no higher calling than military service. Don't be deceived. What then, Christian, or anyone else for that matter, to do? How about mowing lawns, trimming trees, or making hamburgers? A needy service is performed. It doesn't cost taxpayers a dime, and no one gets killed. Think, Christian. Great way to end the show. We agree entirely with Lawrence Vance. Get out of the U.S. military. It's no place for a believer, and especially not to be participating in an aggressive warfare. It doesn't necessarily mean you can't ever be in the military. I'm not saying that. We're just saying that to go on with the evil craft that's going on in the military, especially attacking these people, is wrong, and you should not be applauding them in your church sanctuaries, folks, on Veterans Day or any other day if you're pastors. They are not to be applauded because they are not doing the service of the Lord, and it's not not appropriate. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you joined us today. We'll look forward to having you back again tomorrow for another exciting edition of Christian Worldview. Until then, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.